I thought they had about two or three more rounds to go. I was feeling pretty good, Daddy. I was just about to start shouting. God, dog, if they just gone a little bit more, I was going to cut out in a dance, boy. Look here. Come on, let's pray. Father, we thank you and bless you for today. I pray now that everything that we do and say will be pleasing in your sight. God, I pray that the rich seed of your word will go forth and find fertile ground in our hearts and minds, that we would be more than just hearers. Help us to be doers of your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't know if you've noticed, but we live in a world where gratitude is becoming rarer and rarer. We hold the door for someone and they walk through it without saying a word, as if you are the doorman. We let somebody merge into traffic. They won't even drop their window down long enough just to wave their hand out and say, thank you. We do something kind, sacrificial, or thoughtful for someone, and instead of appreciation, many times you will get indifference, silence, or entitlement. We live in a world where people scroll more than they speak. They complain more than they celebrate. Where blessings are expected, but seldom is accountability lifted. We live in a culture where complaining is common. We live in a world where people have learned how to take but have forgotten how to say two simple words, just thank you. And in a world where Thanksgiving is seasonal, we are called in the Word of God to live with continual gratitude, not just for everything that happens around us or to us or for us, but we are encouraged to be thankful in everything that occurs in our life. I'm always reminded when we come to this time of the year, around this Thanksgiving season, that Thanksgiving, while it is a holiday in our country, is something that we should live, something that we should practice every day of our lives. And it's right in the middle of this thankless time, in a world that was thankless, that the Apostle Paul writes to the believers in Thessalonica. And he says three powerful things, three commands that he encourages those believers and parenthetically expects us to live today. He says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances. Today, for a few moments, I want to talk to you from the thought, how to live thankful in a thankless world. How to live thankful in a thankless world. There are some of you in here under the sound of my voice, and some of you who are watching who know intellectually that you should be thankful, that you should be grateful. But the tragic fact is there are many things in life that erode at our minds and erode at our spirits. And if we're not careful, we'll start complaining and criticizing when we should be grateful for what God is doing in our lives. Three things I want you to see today very simply to help you not just to be thankful in this season, but to be thankful and more thankful every day of your life. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? If you need an outline, raise your hand. The ushers will get one to you. And for those of you who are watching wherever you are, you can find an outline on our website at goodhope.org or fill in the blank outline available if you download our church app. Here's the first thing I want you to see. Number one, you need to realize gratitude is to be a daily celebration. Gratitude is to be a daily celebration. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, Paul says, rejoice always. Rejoice always. Praise sometimes is predicated in our lives upon whether or not something good is happening in our lives Or do we believe something is happening that is praiseworthy in our lives? But the Apostle Paul says, rejoice always. Being thankful is to be a daily demonstration of your gratitude toward God. Somebody said, wait, how can I do that? God says you should do it because rejoicing is not based upon what's happening around you. It's really rooted in who is working in you and a proper perspective of what's happening in your life. See, when Paul writes this, you got to remember he's not writing from a palace. He's writing from a prison cell. Right. Paul is not in the best of situations, and he's writing to people who are dealing with persecution, who are dealing with pressure, and who are dealing with pain. But despite that, he says, if you know the Lord, despite everything that's going on around you, you have a reason to rejoice. This text teaches us that praise and rejoicing have to be more than a reaction. Listen carefully. It needs to become a lifestyle for you. See, if we're honest, maybe not you, but the person next to you, sometimes they can be more cantankerous than they need to be. Sometimes they can be so self-absorbed that they're complaining about what they don't have and what they want to get and what they wish they had instead of thanking God for what they do have. That word rejoice is an interesting word. It literally means to be full of joy, to delight, or to be cheerful. It's in the imperative tense, the present voice, which means it is a continual and ongoing action. Paul isn't commanding a one-time act of joy, but a lifestyle of rejoicing. Some families have a tradition when they get around a Thanksgiving table and it's time to eat. Before they eat, they join hands and they'll go around and say one thing you're thankful for. And, you know, some people have a longer list than others, especially if you got one of those jackleg preachers in the family. You know, they just start going on. And you'd be like, okay, we're ready to eat now. You know, we ready to eat now. We ain't got it. Okay, 5 minutes later, we ready to eat now, right? But Paul says you got to learn how to be thankful, not just around the table, but you got to learn how to be thankful every day of your life. So he doesn't say rejoice sometimes. He says rejoice always. Now, here's what I need you to know. Paul doesn't say be happy all the time, because happiness depends on what's happening. And if nothing is happening, there's nothing to be happy about. Joy is the settled assurance that God is in control. Joy is the quiet confidence that everything will be all right. Even if I can't make sense out of it now, I trust God and his love for me to know that God is going to make everything the way it needs to be. And so even in persecution, Paul says, rejoice. See, when you're truly grateful, when you have a true attitude of gratitude, you don't wait for life to be good before you celebrate. Matter of fact, you celebrate because God is always good, regardless of what's going on around you. I'm preaching to myself right now. I don't even need nobody to say amen. I know I'm right about it. A missionary once said, I've learned to thank God, not because life is easy, but because God is faithful. This missionary lost his home, lost his health, lost most of his possessions, yet his face radiated joy. When asked how he could be so joyous, he said, when you lose everything but still have Jesus, you realize you still have everything that really matters. Let me say it again for somebody that missed it. When you lose everything but still have Jesus, you realize you still have everything that matters. My late pastor, Dr. A. Lewis Patterson, upon the untimely and premature death, as we would count it, of his oldest son, his namesake, said to me, he said, you know what I've learned, Cofield? He said, I've learned when you hit rock bottom, Thank God that the rock at the bottom is Jesus. A little boy was asked when he was thankful what he was thankful for on Thanksgiving. And he said, I'm thankful that God's the same God the day after Thanksgiving. Yeah. Don't reserve your rejoicing for special days. Paul says release it every day. Look at Philippians 4:4, New Living Translation. Let's read it together. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Here's the second thing. Number two, you need to realize gratitude grows through consistent communion with God. Gratitude grows through consistent communion with God. Now, you're filling in grows and communion and God, but I want you to underline, circle, highlight that word consistent. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. That phrase, without ceasing, in some translations is continually, doesn't mean nonstop verbal prayer. It doesn't mean you should be walking around every day, 24 hours a day praying. It means, listen carefully, maintaining an attitude of prayer that's unbroken, that's continual, that is aware of God's presence. In other words, when you pray and then you call yourself, you stop praying, you really shouldn't stop praying because God is still present even when you're not talking. Minister Como talked about the prayer experience. And for many of you who have done the prayer experience, the hardest part of the prayer experience is that last part of the prayer experience. Why? Or yielding, being quiet and just listening and hearing God. Here's what we have failed to learn in the body of Christ. Prayer is not one-way communication. It's not you talking to God, dump trucking all of your requests upon God, and then thinking God guarantees to give you the prayers and desires of your heart because you tag the prayer with, in Jesus' name. Prayer is a communication that should exist between you and God and you. And so here's what Paul says. He doesn't say pray sometimes. He says pray all the time. Keep a constant attitude of prayer. Your prayer life, you know what I try to do with my prayer life? I try to pray and then at the end of my prayer, say, hold on, God. And then when I run into something during the day, I said, now, Lord, like I was saying. Or, hey, Lord, this just came up. Let me run this by you, Lord. What you think? Should I do this or should I not do this? Okay, thank you very much, Lord. I appreciate you leading me. And okay, hold on. I'll be right back with you, Lord. Because I don't want to close out my prayer. Because I might need to be reconnected in a hurry. I told you about Jason sitting on that bench. And when Jason came and sat next to me, and some of you know this, many of you may not know this, I'm an extreme introvert. There's nobody's company I like better than my own. And I just like being alone. I'm not, you know, some people think it's arrogance. Some people think I don't like them. It's really not that. I'm just an extreme introvert who has to be an extrovert in what they do in life. That's one of the paradoxes of God. That's God having a sense of humor, right? That he would take an extreme introvert, somebody who is uncomfortable in front of people, and then put him up on a platform every week to speak. I told you God can do it, right? And so I'm sitting there on this bench. I'm minding my business. There's another bench, but I'm sitting in the bench. I'm minding my business. I'm chilling. I ain't bothering nobody. And I'm enjoying my time. I'm enjoying the Denver weather. It's cool, crisp, no humidity. I'm like, oh, my God, it is beautiful. And he says, hey, you mind if I sit next to you? And my flesh. Y'all, my flesh. I just told you I'm an extreme introvert. My flesh. I was like, yeah, sure. Because I got to be Christian despite my flesh, right? Hey, man, you mind if I talk to you for a minute? Now, listen, if you don't want me to talk to you, you know, just let me know. Y'all already know my flesh. Want to say, well, now that you mention it, kind of, you know, sitting out here chilling by myself. Got my book, you know, I'm doing a little reading. But my prayer line was open. So when the Lord said, tell him you're preaching, God didn't have to make a special call to me because my prayer line was open. It wasn't just me open to talk to God. It was open for me to receive from God. And when I'm literally sitting there and I'm talking to this man and he's telling me about his drinking problem, he starts telling me about his childhood. He tells me about his father. He tells me about his first marriage and his second marriage and the six kids that he's raising and how he feels like he's let God down. All the while, I'm whispering to God in my spirit, Lord, help me. No. By this time, I'm past the introvertedness, y'all. By this time, I'm praying, saying, Lord, give me directions. Tell me what to say to this man to help him to know you in a better way so he can grow in you and become what you want him to be. Prayer is the heartbeat of gratitude. And prayer is the oxygen of every believer's soul. Without prayer, your spirit will suffocate. And can I tell you something about prayer? You can't stay bitter when you're praying on behalf of the situation that has caused you to be bitter. Listen, if you ever too mad to pray, then I'm telling you, you're exactly where the devil wants you and you're not where God wants you. That's why whenever somebody talks about somebody, you know, my first question is, are you praying for them? Have you prayed for them? Because you can't stay mad and angry and upset when you are sincerely praying for somebody and asking God to show you where you need to be. Corrie ten Boom, a noted Christian writer who survived a Nazi concentration camp. Her family rescued many Jews during World War II, and her family was eventually taken into custody and was sent to a concentration camp. And one of the problems they had in the women's barracks, they had an over infestation of fleas. Fleas everywhere. And Corrie ten Boom says she thanked God for the fleas. Somebody said, why would you thank God for the fleas that infested your barracks? She said, I thank God for the fleas because the fleas kept the guards away. Because they wouldn't come in and be with any of us in the barracks because they didn't want to be inconvenienced by the fleas. And she said, and because the guards wouldn't come in and bother us because of the fleas, we could have Bible study in peace because of the fleas. So I thank God for the fleas. My brothers and sisters, sometimes we got to learn how to be thankful for everything, even when we don't see God's purpose in it. We've got to learn how to be thankful. So when you talk to God, talk to him daily. And when you start your day talking to God, don't end it. Just hit it on pause and pick it up when it needs to be picked up. That way you can stay prayerful, not just in crisis, but in consistency. You can pray and get through some things. When you feel anxious, you can pray instead of panicking. When you feel frustrated, you can pray instead of fuming. You can pray knowing that prayer may not change your predicament, but prayer can always help you with your perspective. Luke 18:1, great story there that I would encourage you to read. first verse, though, says one day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. Here's the third and final thing, number three. You need to realize gratitude is the will of God in every circumstance. Gratitude is the will of God in every circumstance. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, the ESV translation says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus in you. How many times have you heard somebody say, I'm just trying to figure out what the will of God is for my life? How many times have you said, God, what is your will? We know that when we pray, we're taught to pray, not my will, but thy will be done. So when you put aside your will and say, God, what is thy will? The question is, God, what is your will? Paul says, learn how to give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Is it something else, God? Well, here's what I hear God saying. You can find out some other things about my will. Can we start with what I already said? Can we just start with being grateful and giving thanks in all situations, all circumstances? The phrase give thanks is where we get the word eucharistio or Eucharist from, and it means to express gratitude or to show appreciation. Some denominations use it, the Eucharist, to refer to the Lord's Supper, which is the ultimate act of thanksgiving for the sacrifice that Jesus made for each of us. Paul doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances. He says that somewhere else. But here he says learn how to give thanks in all circumstances. And that distinction is vital because God never asks us to be thankful for evil, pain, or loss, because the truth of the matter is we are so short-sighted, that is far beyond our ability to explain, and far beyond our ability to understand. But he calls us to trust him in all our circumstances, because he can bring good even out of our bad. Romans 8:28, let's read it together. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. The phrase "for this is God's will" indicates that thanksgiving isn't optional for us. And it is not seasonal. It is not 1 month that we are to be thankful. Paul says we are to be thankful every day of our lives, for this is God's will. This is where God's peace is. This is where we can be transformed and our painful predicaments can turn into praise, because when we are thankful in whatever we are going through, we can discover eventually God's purpose even for our most painful situation. See, here's the truth of the matter, y'all. We don't understand what God is doing. And many times we don't understand what's happening until on the other side of going through it. And then when you get on the other side, you can look back. And you talk about hindsight being 20/20 vision. Hindsight for the believer is 20/20 praise. Because you can look back and you'd be like, oh, Lord, look at what I would have been in if I hadn't. And God, I didn't realize what you was keeping me from. Lord, thank you for that. At the time you were mad, at the time you were angry, at the time you felt like God had let you down, that God had forgotten about you, but you look back now and you don't even have to wonder how you made it over. You know it was the Lord. Look at Ephesians 5:20. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, you got to learn how to thank God in all things. Because when you learn how to thank God in all things, you acknowledge his sovereignty in all things. And gratitude, listen carefully, becomes an act of faith. It becomes an act of faith. To say, God, I'm going to thank you right now. I'm going to bless you right now. I'm going to praise you right now, even though I don't understand it. But by faith, I'm going to give you praise. A farmer lost his only horse. His neighbor said, that's bad. The next day, the horse came back with two wild horses. The neighbor said, that's good. The farmer's son broke his leg trying to tame one of the horses. The neighbor said, that's bad. A week later, the army came to draft the young man for war, but his son couldn't be drafted because he had a broken leg. The neighbor said, that's good. The farmer finally replied, I don't know if it's good or bad, but I do know God is in control. And that's what gratitude looks like, acknowledging that God is in control. So let me just close this little message by telling you, you need to learn not to just praise God on the mountaintop. You got to learn how to praise him in the valley. When you can thank God even in your trials, you demonstrate that your faith is not shallow, but your faith is strong. Gratitude keeps your heart toward God when life gets hard. Gratitude builds resilience in your spirit and perspective in your pain. No matter what's happening around you, thank God for what's happening within you. Because in life, it is God's goal not to give you stuff, but to make you into something. And he's still shaping your heart so that you become more and more like him. You may not thank God for the sickness, but Paul says thank him in the sickness because he's still a healer. You may not thank him for the storm, but you can thank him in the storm because he's still your shelter. Gratitude aligns your attitude with God's will. It shifts your focus from what's missing to who's with you in the midst of what you're going through. God's will for you is not just to be successful, but God's will for you is to teach you how to be grateful. And when you thank God in every circumstances, can I tell you something? Your trials turn into testimonies. Your problems turn into praise because you know that God is already good. So when life gets heavy, learn how to thank him anyway. When your friends get few or somebody shows you that they're really not your friend, thank God anyway. When the money runs out, thank God anyway. When the bills pile up, thank God anyway. If the doctor shakes their head, thank God anyway. Because gratitude is not a reaction. Gratitude is a revelation of who's holding you and where you put your faith and where you put your trust. So gratitude doesn't mean you like the situation. It just means you're trusting the Savior. Gratitude doesn't wait for the storm to pass. Gratitude teaches you how to dance in the rain and wait until the storm passes, but knowing that God is still with you. Gratitude doesn't complain about what's missing. Gratitude celebrates what's remaining. Gratitude may not rejoice in who left, but gratitude teaches you how to be thankful for who's left and what God has blessed you with. So if you know and hear what God is saying, God's word is clear. God challenges us to rejoice, to pray, and give thanks in all circumstances. Because that's God's will for our lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank you as you teach us this simple but powerful lesson today to rejoice always, to pray continually, and to give thanks in all circumstances. We thank you because being thankful is not a holiday, it's a holy way of living. And so, God, I pray for somebody today that their gratitude would be louder than their grief, that their praise would be stronger than their pain, that their thankfulness will be greater than their trials. Help them, Lord, to thank you in everything. And one day, when we get to the place where we hear you say, well done, we'll discover that our thanks, our lifetime of gratitude on earth was just a rehearsal for an eternity of praise. Forgive us of the times that we've grumbled instead of being grateful. Forgive us for the times that we have focused more on self than we have on you as our Savior. I pray, God, that you would renew somebody's heart so that joy would overflow. Give them a peace that surpasses all understanding and give them a gratitude that glorifies you in every season. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.